Well, as most of you come in the evening services, you know that we've been looking at, well, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, or 1st, or what do you want to call it? We're in 2 Kings. And we've been looking mainly in recent months at the life of Elijah and Elisha and their faithful ministry to the people of God. That faithful ministry was challenging, wasn't it? Incredibly challenging. They were opposed. They were mocked. Remember those young men that mocked Elisha? And a bear came out and, you know, there's a tremendous battle going on because there is evil in this world and people come under the influence of evil. And certainly in this time, the people of God had come under powerful influences of evil. You think of Ahab and Jezebel, and they're referred to throughout the scriptures. In fact, the book of Revelation talks about the Jezebel spirit that comes upon the world at the times we're living in, referring back to this woman, Jezebel, and her promotion of Baal worship, which was full of sexual immorality, which is not far from where we are today, is it? And full of the corruption of true worship. And of course, we know from the commandments that the great commandment is that we love the Lord our God with all our heart, that we worship him, and the first four commandments. You shall have no other gods but me. Not make an idol or set it up. And these things are the most grievous things to God because we replace him who has created us. As we've just heard Katerina refer to euthanasia, we play God when he created us in his image to bear his likeness. And actually has sent Jesus to redeem us to be all that he purposed us to be. So the worship of God is so central to the whole message of the Bible. Worshipping God. Remember what Jesus said to the woman at the well. God is seeking those who worship him in spirit and in truth, who worship him, who acknowledge who he is and bow down before him and give him all the glory. And I love our website has taken the first question of the catechism. The catechism, the shorter catechism put together 400 odd years ago. What is the chief purpose of man? To glorify God and to enjoy him forever. We are to enjoy God. He loves us. I enjoy my wife very much. She loves me. But God loves me more. And we are to enjoy him. We are to know a relationship with him that is intimate and real. And Elisha and Elijah, even before the new covenant is established, are showing us how to live in a relationship with the God of heaven. They are devoted to him. Well, it was Elijah, when he fled from Jezebel and hid in the cave, who received those words from the Lord, "You shall go and anoint Jehu." Jehu, who is to accomplish my purposes, my judgment of Ahab and Jezebel. You know, today, when people are acting wickedly, and we see them acting wickedly in the world, and we can get overwhelmed by it all, don't be overwhelmed. Because God sees. And the Bible says clearly, do not fret because of the wicked. God sees. He's a just judge, and he will deal with everyone justly. And he will have the final say. And here in the cave, when Elijah has fled from Jezebel because he's fearful of his life, he wants to disappear and go to heaven now. God says, what are you doing here, Elijah? Get up and do what I've told you to do and anoint Jehu. Well, he didn't anoint Jehu, actually. He went to heaven in a chariot before Jehu was anointed. It was Elisha who sent forth a minor prophet to anoint Jehu. And to me, I don't think it was disobedience. It's almost like God is slow to anger. He's longing for people to come to repentance. But in the end, he will judge, because he is on the throne. And here we have, last Sunday we looked at the judgment that Jehu exercised. Well, here we have the kind of completion of that judgment. And it's thorough. We read, then Jehu assembled all the people and said to them, Ahab served Baal a little, but Jehu will serve him much. He's actually lying. How can he be serving God and lying at the same time? Because God is sovereign. You see, we tend to think, oh, that person can't be serving God. They're telling lies, or they're doing something that isn't godly. No. I'll take you to Isaiah. I wonder what you think about Donald Trump. He's certainly a hard person to work out, isn't he? Well, he is actually accomplishing the purposes of God right now. He's doing it because God is on the throne. Just like Cyrus. Do you remember? God appointed Cyrus, who did not know God, but he appointed him to accomplish God's purposes for his people. In Isaiah 45, we read, thus says the Lord, to his anointed, to Cyrus. Well, God had anointed Jehu. There in the cave, Elijah heard God say, anoint Jehu for the purposes I have for him to fulfill, which is the judgment of Ahab and Jezebel and the wickedness they have brought into Israel. Cyrus was very similar. He was someone who did all sorts of wicked things. But God says in Isaiah 45, he's anointed Cyrus, whose right hand I have grasped to subdue nations before him and to loose the belts of kings. I will go before you and level the exalted places. Well, God has anointed Jehu to accomplish a purpose. Even though we see, and even in this passage we read, that at the end of Jehu's life he was not faithful to the things of God, but he was still accomplishing the purposes of God. Ahab served Baal a little, and Jehu says, I will serve him much. Now therefore, call to me all the prophets of Baal, all his worshippers, all the priests. Let none be missing, for I have a great sacrifice to offer to Baal. Whoever is missing shall not live. So he's kind of threatening them. They've got to be there for this great big sacrifice. It's going to be a sacrifice of their lives. And we read, but Jehu did it with cunning in order to destroy the worshippers of Baal. God is sovereign. He is on the throne. In a moment, I'm going to show you just how sovereign he is as you look at the life of his son. Jehu ordered, sanctify a solemn assembly for Baal. So they proclaimed it. Jehu sent throughout all Israel, and all the worshippers of Baal came, so that there was not a man left who did not come. God intends to destroy every one of them. No one escapes God's judgment. Doesn't sound good, does it? For us, God is going to judge every single person. Well, he said to him, who was in charge of the wardrobe, bring the vestments of all the worshippers. So he got them all dressed up, you know, ready for this great Baal ceremony. So he brought out the vestments for them. Then Jehu went into the house of Baal and Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, and he said to the worshippers of Baal, search and see that there is no servant of the Lord here among you. We've got to make this a sanctified Baal worshipping space, because he's going to protect the worshippers of the Lord. God is sovereign in this too. He's protecting his own people. Only worshippers of Baal. Then they went in and offered sacrifice of burnt offerings. Now Jehu had stationed 80 men outside. The man who allows any of those whom I give into your hands to escape shall forfeit his life. What sort of a man is this Jehu character? He's a fearsome character. If you met him in the street, you wouldn't put your arms around him and give him a hug. But he is accomplishing the sovereign purposes of God. God is on the throne. So as soon as he had made an end of the offering, the burnt offering, Jehu said to the guard and to the officers, go in and strike them down. Let not a man escape. So when they put them to the sword, the guard and the officers cast them out and went into the inner room of the house of Baal. And they brought out the pillar that was in the house of Baal and burned it. They demolished the pillar of Baal and demolished the house of Baal and made it a latrine to this day. There's God's judgment on evil and wickedness. No evil, no wickedness is going to survive God. And yet we know Jesus has told us great wickedness is going to arise. The Antichrist is going to come. All sorts of things are going to happen. Except God is going to judge every single evil justly. In our New Testament reading tonight, we look at the story that John records of Jesus being brought to Pilate. And Pilate took him and flogged him. Pilate, in this position of authority, is actually fulfilling the will of God. What? He's flogging Jesus. Why is this? Why does God allow Jesus to be flogged by Pilate? Because you and I deserve to be flogged. You may think, oh no, I'm not as bad as that. No, I'm sorry. You and I deserve to be flogged. To suffer brutal judgment. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came up to him and, hail, King of the Jews! They struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them, see, I'm bringing him out to you that you may know that I find no guilt in him. Why is he flogging him? Because you deserve to be flogged. So do I. You deserve a crown of thorns. So do I. This is where we should be. This is the sovereignty of God, exercising judgment. But who on? So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns, the purple robe. Pilate said to them, behold the man. What a statement. Behold the man. Behold, there's Michael. There's the man who deserves to be flogged. When the chief priests, the officers saw him, they cried out, crucify him! Crucify him! That's what you and I deserve. I don't think we grasp it fully, do we? We don't fully see this is what we deserve. And as we see the story unfold, Pilate said to them, take him yourself and crucify. I find no guilt in him. The Jews answered him, we have a law. According to the law, we ought to die because he has made himself the Son of God. He has made himself the Son of God. Jesus didn't make himself the Son of God. When Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. He entered into the headquarters and said to Jesus, where are you from? Jesus gave him no answer. Why isn't he trying to defend himself? Because in the garden, he knew what lay ahead of him. He sweated drops of blood, knowing what lay ahead for him, the righteous judgment of God upon you and me was going to fall on him. He's not defending himself because he's surrendering to the judgment. He's allowing the judgment to fall upon himself. He's absorbing the full impact of this judgment so you and I can go free. Pilate said to him, will you not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority? I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you? Jesus did answer him, you would have no authority over me unless it had been given to you from above. This is the sovereign God of judgment exercising his judgment upon sin. And we are needing time to absorb the fullness of what this is if you are to know the love of Jesus for you. A sovereign God is judging justly the sin of you and me and exercising it on his own Son. From then on, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, if you release this man, you're not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar. So when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat at a place called the Stone Pavement, and in Aramaic, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. The day of preparation for the Passover. What is the Passover? The slaying of a lamb and its blood smeared on the doorposts and lintels of houses, that the judgment of God should not fall upon those houses, but only upon those in Egypt. You see, were the Israelites any, you know, less sinners than the Egyptians? The righteous judgment of God came upon Egypt. And the sinfulness of that community, both Israelite and Egyptian. But the Israelites were told to put the blood of a lamb over the doorposts and the angel of death would pass over their houses. And here, what is the timing of this? Who is orchestrating this timing? A sovereign God who is executing judgment upon us, but falling on his Son. Behold your king, he said to the Jews. They cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate said to them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. So he delivered him over to be crucified. And he did the will of a sovereign God that judgment should fall on Jesus and not on anyone who puts their trust in him. And we are coming to his table tonight. What for? To remember what he has done for each one of us. And so often we think we are better than that. No, my friend, you are no better than anyone else in this world. You and I deserve the flogging, the crown of thorns, the crucifixion of a cross, the casting out of us. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? So that you and I might be taken in by the Father and become his own beloved children. This is the love. But this is also the sovereign judgment of God. Let's pray.